As we enter the second day of partial government shutdown, it's still uncertain how much impact this will have across the state and locally. One thing is certain, however, the longer this continues, the greater the effects will be. More than 40% of the state's budget comes from the federal government. And even more locally, here in the Tri-County area, there are many nonprofits and government programs that rely on federal funding. A little later, we'll find out how one Eaton County housing program is faring. But first, we look closer here in Lansing. Ivan Love is executive director of Capital Area Community Services, which, among other things, administers the federal Head Start program for Clinton, Eaton, Ingham, and Shiawassee counties. The agency serves more than 1,600 children and employs nearly 300 people. Welcome, Ivan.
Good morning.
Also, we have Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson, director of the City of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department, which oversees federal grants for a wide variety of programs throughout the city. Welcome, Joan.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to start with you, Ivan. Ivan, Capital Area Community Services operates Lansing's Head Start program. How many children do you serve, and in what capacity do you serve them?
Okay. Head Start is our largest program. Besides Head Start, we offer a whole array of other services, homeless prevention services, food distribution, emergency services. Our agency has at any one time between 50 and 70 contracts with the federal government, the state, and the city of Lansing. We have several contracts with. Our Head Start program serves about 1,640 children. It was cut a little bit because of the sequestration, so we had to deal with that last year. That is my big concern this week, is how the government shutdown is going to impact that. And if I can take a moment, I could explain to you the situation that we're facing and the potential crisis that this shutdown brings to a local program.
Yes, please explain.
The federal government, of course, I'd like to use an analogy first so people understand what the shutdown really means at the local level. We know that 800,000 federal employees have been laid off, and we know that the parks are closed and the zoos closed, but that's only the very tip of the iceberg. And I'd like to use the analogy, if all of us and all of your radio listeners were faced today with all gas stations in the country shutting down, the headline would be, all gas stations shut, 50,000 gas station employees lose their jobs, and they'll have some person talking about how they couldn't get their coffee at Speedway this morning. But that's only the beginning of the story, because all of us know that we need gas, and we all know that in our car we have a certain amount of gas, and we calculate in our mind, and we have a few cans in the garage for the lawnmower. But eventually we're going to run out of gas. And the gas, for a program or an agency like mine or the city of Lansing that administers federal funds, the gas is money. And it all comes down to, when will we get the money, how will we get the money, and how long can we survive on that little bit of gas we have in the tank right now, which is the cash we have on hand.
How long can you survive?
Well, I don't know. We get funds one of two ways. Head Start is a direct drawdown from the U.S. Treasury. Other programs are reimbursed through the state or the city. So let's talk about Head Start, because that's my immediate concern. The federal government sent out a very short email that if you are an essential program, which they're now calling an accepted program, E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D, you'll be able to draw money down. But they didn't give a list of what those programs are. So I don't know if our Head Start program is included in that list or not. So today, we're going to attempt to issue $60,000 in checks tomorrow. We can only draw money down the day before we need it, so we're going to put in a request to Treasury at the end of business today for $60,000, and we will know at 12:01 whether it was put in our bank account or not. If it's put in our bank account, then we know we're one of the programs that they will fund. We're one of those essential service programs, and we will continue operating. If they do not put the money in, then I have to shut everything down Monday. because I have a $600,000 payroll week from Friday, and I will not be able to draw the cash down. And we have some of our own cash, but I'll have to go to the bank and borrow the money to make payroll, and we'll just have to sit and wait until the government resolves their problems.
What does shutting down mean?
That means I don't want to panic people because I won't know until tomorrow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It may come, it may not come. But across the country, it varies. Some agencies, Head Start programs are funded about 8% of them each month. So they all start and end at different times. Those that begin on October 1, they're dead. They're not going to operate. They're closed because they can't get money. We started August 1, and so we may be able to still draw money down. And that we will find out. What I mean by closing down is I will have to give staff a layoff notice that not to report to work Monday, and we'll have to notify all the parents that we will not be operating Head Start due to the government shutdown.
Joan, the city distributes federal and state money to many organizations in the community. What are some of the agencies or services that will be affected by the shutdown?
Well, the biggest impact will be on homelessness. The $1.8 million that we receive from the federal government goes to ending homelessness. Ivan's program receives almost $400,000 for us for case management of individuals who are either homeless or on the verge of being homeless. So the concern that we have is ours is on a reimbursable basis. The city, when Ivan submits a bill, we do an immediate turnaround and reimburse them, but then we have to do a drawdown, you know, from the federal government. We have not been able to, or at least yesterday, we weren't able to contact our federal representatives. So we're kind of in the same situation that Ivan is in, and the worst part is it will impact on, you know, thousands of our citizens. This past year, 2012, we identified over 4,000 homeless individuals in the Lansing area, which was up, you know, from the year before. And we continue to fight that battle to end homelessness, but without essential services, people just can't survive. We give money, as I mentioned, to CACS. We have St. Vincent's Catholic Charities that does a permanent supportive housing program for us. Rent has to be paid for those individuals, utilities. We give money to Haven House, to Eves, the domestic violence shelter, you know, a number of Avon House and a number of other agencies. So we're talking about thousands of individuals that will be impacted. Now, we've had another crisis that we've hit that is hitting us harder yesterday than the federal piece, and that was the Public Act 615 that the governor apparently signed in January. The problem there is in the city of Lansing, when utilities are shut off at any level, water, lights, or electricity, the houses are tagged and individuals are unable to reside in those residences. Our shelters have been full all year round. We've used money for moteling of individuals who, you know, have been put out on the streets or, you know, were evicted for one reason or another. There's no layer to add to anything that we're doing right now. The decision that Department of Human Services made to not utilize that 30% based on this Public Act to provide some emergency assistance is a wrong choice. It has nothing to do with Washington at this point. We're talking about our state government.
It's just another layer.
It's another layer that impacts on the poorest of the poor, or as the Pope would say, the voiceless in our community. People are being sent in a maze, worse than finding this office, where they're calling 211. 211 is not able to identify a source in the Tri-County area to pay for any utilities. So we're really struggling. The mayor is involved, and we're meeting later this morning to try to figure out a plan. You can come up with a plan and a solution, but without the cash, nothing is going to change.
It sounds like a lot of stresses going on
right
now.
I mean, it really is. And when you talk about seniors and babies, you know, how can we do this? Kids need stability, and seniors don't like changes.
And Joan speaks to the other issue. I mentioned we're very lucky that we can draw money down directly from the federal government for Head Start. Most of the things that I do and everything that Joan does, someone else draws the money down for you, and then you get reimbursed. So many of the programs I operate for the state, they're sending me letters that I will not get any reimbursements after October 1st because they can't draw the money down, so they're already warning me and telling me, don't expect us to give you money. And I think one of the biggest impacts that that's going to happen nationally is I got a letter from Michigan Department of Ed. The Head Start children get a meal. We serve about 300,000 meals a year in the school lunch program. Department of Ed said they cannot reimburse us or any school districts, is what the letters basically said, until the federal government ends the shutdown and appropriates the money. So I cannot get reimbursed for the meals I serve the children in Head Start, even if I'm operating. Every school in the United States will not be able to get reimbursed for school lunch meals until this is resolved. So they'll have to find the money, and they'll have to operate. And for us, it's about $550,000 a year that we get reimbursed for the meals. And, you know, we can't get reimbursed for homelessness. And we're getting some money from Joan, but, I mean, from our state office, we're not able to get money because they're not able to draw it down. So, I mean, basically I'm faced with the decisions, how long is this shutdown going to last? Then we get into the debt ceiling, and I gave you a thing. I think Joan spoke to a real problem that's the backdrop. This was in the paper, and this is from the U.S. Census. And if you look at the city of Lansing, the first column is median income in 2008 in Lansing was $42,078. Today, or well, in 12, it had dropped to $33,076. A 20% drop in income for everyone, the median income in our city.
And what that did was to put the light on Lansing, saying that we had a 25% increase in the number of kids living in poverty, which puts it over 50%.
Yep.
And unfortunately, someone with the stats wanted to compare us to Detroit. You can't compare those numbers.
Those are oranges and apples.
I hope they're listening. Right, absolutely. But, you know, again, Lansing has made lots of positive impact in terms of employment, blah, blah, blah. The problem is that the people with limited skills, the jobs have not reached down to that level. So we have people who are trying to survive on minimum wage. A mother that I talked to someone about earlier, mother of seven, minimum wage, she's working two jobs and she still can't survive. She lost housing illegally, but children are suffering in our community. The city of Lansing this summer to fill that gap in terms of the federal free lunch program, we provided 3 weeks of free lunches, and thanks to the generous donations of citizens, et cetera. But again, we gave them one box, and they were accustomed to having two meals any time that the feds are feeding. And then you go home with that box, and the family's trying to eat out of that. We have kids, you know, that are hungry. The shelters are up with their numbers feeding. I volunteer every Sunday at Avon House, and this past Sunday we fed breakfast to about 280-plus people. I mean, we did 15 pounds of grits in a pot. When the grits goes down, that's my loaves and fishes. I mean, it's trouble in a lot of ways, and you can't turn your back on. Kids don't understand.
Yeah.
And so we have a challenge ahead. We're rising to the occasion, but our hope in the city of Lansing is that the federal government, you know, will get their act together. You know, this is not a time for, you know, partisan politics. We need to address.
What would you say to them if you had the chance?
Oh, I don't know if I could say it on the radio. But I would say that, you know, basically, you know, where's your human compassion? And if this were your family, how would you respond to the decisions that someone else would make that would lead to homelessness or missing meals for a number of our kids? It shouldn't be, a choice. It's doing the right thing. And what's happening now is not the right thing and is impacting on thousands, if not millions, of people around our country.
And Ivan, what about you? What would you say to Washington?
Well, you know, that's an extremely difficult question to answer. And I'm like Joan. I have my own personal thoughts, but, you know, we're on the radio. I personally think it ought to be mandatory that if you're elected to Congress, you have to go live in the community and live the life of people that really receive government services. Part of the number is for income is dragged down because we basically serve people that are in poverty. Half of our children in Head Start are at 50% of poverty. So poor people are getting poorer over the last decade, and that's one of the factors dragging the number down. And I know some elected officials try to live on food stamps for a week or something, but until you honestly understand what families are dealing with and what's happening in our community, and if you know – a policy that if you believe people should be drug tested to get food stamps, drug tested to be in public housing, drug tested to get cash assistance, and they test positive for drugs, there really is limited resources to serve those people, and I think you end up with individuals that are a new phenomenon in our city over the last 5 years standing on the street corner with cardboard.
But I think the bottom line is you don't let the kids suffer as a result of poor choices for the parents.
Yeah, and I think that's when I started this in the early 70s, the belief was we praise those that had a good job, a good income, and a good retirement. And we tried to make sure that everyone got that. Sadly, I think today politicians and maybe more people than I would like to see in our nation say, I don't have it, so why should you? And it's a flip of the question, where we used to try to make sure that we praise those firemen and those teachers and those union workers that had the good job, the good income, the good retirement, the good health care. But now we demonize them and we say, I don't have it, so why should you have it?
Well, we'll be keeping in touch with both of you guys as the situation continues, and hopefully it's not prolonged for too long. Ivan Love is Executive Director of the Capital Area Community Services, which administers the federal Head Start program for Clinton, Eaton, Ingham, and Shiawassee counties. And Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson is the Director of the City of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department. Thank you guys both so much for joining
us.
Thank you.
And now we turn to a local agency that's been having a slightly different experience with the government shutdown so far. The Housing Services for Eaton County is a nonprofit agency based in Charlotte that provides case management and housing assistance for low-income residents there. With me now by phone is Executive Director of Housing Services for Eaton County, Denise Dunn. Welcome, Denise.
Good morning.
Denise, your agency was recently awarded a one-year grant of about $170,000from the U.S. Veterans Affairs Office with help low-income veterans who are either homeless or struggling to remain in their homes. The grant was to start yesterday. What is the status of it at this point?
Well, I received information last night after 5 o'clock that we would be able to incur costs. So we've been told that we can go ahead and incur the cost, we just can't get the reimbursement right now. So that's where I'm sitting with that. My gentleman that is the case manager is in Barry County right now doing some intakes. He did intakes yesterday. So we're going to conduct the business that we've been charged with here under this grant in good faith that the government's going to go good on paying us. We don't want any veterans going homeless or being evicted.
You are also the recipient of a special Section 8 grant. What is that grant for, and have you received the funding that was due yesterday for that?
Yeah, that's an interesting grant. About 10 years ago, under the Bush administration, there was a faith-based allowability, if you will, to go after those kinds of funds. And I got into that window and was able to capture a 5-year mainstream grant. And that's been renewed ever since. So that money comes out of a different pool of money in Washington than the standard Section 8 that you hear about, like the Lansing Housing Commission. This funding comes out of funding for people with disabilities and seniors, which is called 811. I didn't know what would happen with that funding, but my bank account showed yesterday that they actually deposited the money that I'm supposed to have to pay rents for October 1.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised because I thought, well, it comes in on the 1st every month, and October 1, midnight, the government shut down, so would it show up? It actually was deposited, and so I have the funding to pay for the Section 8 program here in Eaton County, which is approximately $40,000 a month going out in rental assistance that assists 75 households. So a pretty big dynamic and impact there if we were unable to do that.
Yeah.
But Last night, I also received an email from the National Coalition for Low-Income Housing, and they said HUD's plan of action is to pay this. So across the board, it looks like HUD paid October 1 for everybody to pay their subsidies out, but they were unaware what would happen. So at this point, they're standing and just waiting. So if it goes on for very long, I'm not going to know.
Yeah, how will this prolonged shutdown affect you at Housing Services of Eaton County, if it's prolonged,
well,
that is, yes.
Yeah, and so the biggest impact, and I was listening to Ivan Love, as he stated, you're not going to be able to get these reimbursements, and that's exactly what's happening here with us. I have several funding sources from the feds that I always get on reimbursement basis, and yes, you know, just yesterday was the first, so I should be preparing my reimbursements for the month of September and turning those in. I can prepare them and have them ready, but the funding's not going to come. So fortunately, we have funding and money in our bank account that we've been able to save up over the years through fundraising just for this type of issue. And that's not true of all nonprofits out there. Many, many, many nonprofits are shoestring operations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to affect some of the smaller nonprofits that really provide a lot of work in the community.
Denise Dunn is Executive Director of Housing Services for Eaton County. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.